to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Amen. Well, hey everybody, great to see you. We're going to be worshiping again after this. We're moving our service around, and there'll also be the opportunity for some ministry and prayer time. And then as the service concludes, we're also going to the band will continue to create a space here for worship, for surrender on the altar. So you're welcome to stay and have your cup filled to overflowing if that's where you're at today. Well, I hinted at this last week, and I've just come back from the States for an incredible conference over there. Five of us from the C3 Aussie exec. And while we were there, the first day, so it's, I think it was about 32 hours travel, to get over three flights through the night. You know the deal, if you've done trips like that, you basically don't sleep. And so we're then walking around the next evening in zombie mode. And so we're walking down the streets of Orlando, the five of us. And so we're looking for somewhere to eat. There were too many options. I was going to say everything looked good. Not everything looked good. Some things looked interesting, but we probably walked for a couple of Ks down this kind of main entertainment type stretch. And then up about maybe 100 meters in front of us, I think there were maybe four lanes of traffic going each way. And over on this side, there was this really hot Camaro that pulled over kind of in between two lanes and both doors open. Then we could just see this mass of human bodies and this noise and scurrying. And so then we move closer and so there is a brawl going on in the middle of the street. So we went over. It was probably a mix of can we help and this looks interesting. And so we moved closer, and then we saw that there were heaps of ladies actually involved. And so then there were five guys, so we're like, we can be chivalrous. And as we got closer, we could see that there were three main, you call it a protagonist, three main protagonists. Are they the negative characters who are fighting? Antagonists. Okay, that's good. I just thought I'd try and be my wife for a second and then realized again that I'm not. Stay in your lane, Jazz. There were these three people fighting, and then there were girls around screaming. So there was one tall, and it's funny because the day and age we're in, like I want to mention the ethnicities just because it helps paint the picture, but I feel like you almost can't today because someone's going to read something into it and then I'll end up on an Instagram post as a racist. So they were humans fighting from different ethnic backgrounds, all equally loved by God, equally precious before the throne, equally broken in their humanity, but there's a savior for them all. They were fighting, those type of people. And so one of the ethnicities is classically a little louder than the other. And so these women were screaming and trying to stop the fight. And there was one guy onto two guys, okay? One guy was about 6'5". He had tats, he wasn't wearing a top, and he looked like he had been smoking or injecting something because he wasn't quite as, like he was built. You do not want to fight this guy. But he wasn't quite as steady on his feet as he could have been. And then there were two other guys who were maybe about 5 foot tall and were quite rotund, like large gentlemen, probably in their late 60s, and he's in his mid-30s. And so something had happened the big guy was driving the car, and then I think there were maybe four of his female friends in the car. And then the smaller gentlemen, elderly gentlemen, they were walking with their wives. And so somehow, between the walking on the street, the driving the car on the street, something happened. They were fighting. This big guy is swinging and clocking these dudes, but they didn't really have necks, the big guys. And they were kind of like, is it front rowers in rugby, who just built for power. And so they are now, they're rolling on the ground. The big guy, like, this just keeps on going. And so we're in trying to help, and then just like, this is, let's maybe not. And it was clear that none of the ladies were getting hurt. These guys were just off their rockers. The shorter gentleman had clearly been drinking. And so none of them were very, and so then there are this like wild swings. And then one of the moments was the big guy gets one of the they look like brothers, these two, basically like twins, gets one on the ground, slams him on the ground, rips his t-shirt off. So then there's this other guy's t-shirt ripped off and they're swinging. And so we're like, this is crazy. We can see there's some security starting to come over. And so we just keep walking. So we're now about, I don't know, 70 meters past. We see the big guy in the Camaro go and open the boot and take out a pistol. And this is where you remember you're in a different country with different rules. And because we did wonder why more people didn't kind of come over and help. And then because there were less of us than there were people in the fight. Once you got enough of you, then you can like, okay, let's get in and let's help. But people don't necessarily come and help because if they've got guns, then it's different. And so so then we see him. So there was already separation between the two couples that had walked off. The guy with, he just kind of put his t-shirt over his shoulders, and this guy, off they go. So the guy jumps in his car with the pistol and then takes off and heads towards where the other couples had walked to. And so then that's the end of my story. It reminded me, see, I haven't seen a fight probably since high school. I do remember one fight when I was in high school where a guy had a funny hat and I said something about his hat. He walked up to me and punched me in the face and I went like that, and then he walked away and I walked away. That's the only fight that I've ever had. That's a way less cool story than the Orlando street fight. So I don't know how that happened, but it reminded me in this week I have felt some of this spiritual fight that we are engaged with. And so this was a very natural fight. I don't know who was in the right, who was in the wrong. I don't think it justifies that type of behavior, whatever had preceded it. But there is a very real fight that you and I are engaged with. It's just not against our natural forces, but against the principalities and powers of evil in the heavenly realms. And we have tackled an epic topic to sit in this year, servant-hearted humility. It kind of touches against everything that the spirit of this age and the enemy wants to war against. You see, pride is the natural disposition of the enemy. And so naturally, he wants there to be these subtle seeds of pride that land in every single one of us every day. And if it can land in unprotected soil, then it will grow and bear an ugly harvest. And so I would think that there are parts of every single one of our lives here today that have a little ugly harvest growing in some capacity. And often we're unaware. And so this is where we're just giving space for the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do. But where there is an ugliness that wants to grow within, but at the same time, there is this glorious call that comes from our King to a freedom that goes beyond our ability to grasp it, but it's more in our ability to open up for Him to continue the work in us that He has started, the good work that He has started in us, to take us on a pathway of freedom like we have never known. And I want to remind us again that the greatest human of all time postured himself in the most extraordinary humility. And so we've read through our whole guiding passage of Philippians and some more scripture from Philippians on the front and back end of this great book as we've launched our service today. And I want each of us to take a hold afresh And I'm going to try not to overspeak, which is a work of God in itself. And I honestly and genuinely want the Holy Spirit to speak to each and every one of our hearts afresh today about areas where the Holy Spirit desperately wants to grant you even greater freedom. And not just you, but me, us. Where there would be an even greater posturing of ourselves before the King in a way that would allow His gracious work to continue. As we become a people postured in servant-hearted humility more and more. And so if you feel like life is a fight sometimes, then that's a great acknowledgement and a great place of awareness, because it is. Man, I was struck even hearing as we read through Philippians and Paul, the author of that book, if you're newer in a church context, Paul sent this letter to the church in Philippi, and as we heard, as was read and we saw up on the screen, this wrestle that the Apostle Paul had, that there's this heart to just want to go and be in heaven with the Lord, but then there's this compulsion to stay and continue on in the good fight here. And there's this tearing in between, like it is hard to stay here and be the person that God has called me to be and help this glorious kingdom of heaven be established here. And you can hear this wrestle in the Apostle Paul as he's saying, it'd be way easier for me if I could just go and be with him and just be alive in his presence. And we've got to be careful not to pull too much of heaven to earth now. We've got to pull the appropriate, like the power of God, for us to be in the here and now. But there should be a sense of contention and fight that we feel inside of us, because we are literally called by God to see something of the kingdom of heaven manifest on earth. And all the powers of hell and darkness want to stand against. And we need to be reminded that Jesus has overcome, that we are on the winning side, but there is still a place where we are called to be engaged in the fight. So I just want to acknowledge that afresh and remind us that there is a fight for us to stand against the tendency of this world. And the tendency of this world is so strong and so in our face. And there is a prideful posture that our world lives in that elevates opinion to this fever pitch level that can't help but want to soak into us. And then soak into how we see God and how we see community that He's called us to be a part of. So there is a fight against the tendency of the world. There is a fight against the schemes of the enemy. And if we're in our Bible, this is really handy of the Lord and how the scriptures were organized. If we just flick back one page from our guiding scriptures in Philippians for this series, we reach Ephesians chapter 6. And Ephesians 6 describes the battle and describes some of what we're up against here. And so, Aaron, I didn't mention these scriptures to you. If you can quickly, if you pull up Ephesians 6 from verse 10, if you're able to do that, that'd be amazing. Otherwise, you can follow along on your phone, or I did see Peter Jackson with a paper Bible. Legend. Legend. Can we give it up for Peter Jackson? In the most respectful way, Peter did kids ministry on the Ark. And every day since. Thank you, sir. A general in the faith. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And so, awesome. We'll just go back to verse 10. I just want you to just have a look at this. Take this in. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. Just ask God to speak to you about that verse. I just want you to focus on the word Lord for a second. Just go there with who He is. Be reminded again the love of our God, the magnificence, the magnitude. His glorious grace. His great love for you. Lord, we ask that you would continue to be revealed to us. Can you just open your hands just where you sit, please? Lord, that we would know you more. Open the eyes of our heart. Let us see you for who you really are. King above all kings. Mighty God, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty strength. And so I want us to own afresh in these moments. You can open your eyes when you're ready. There is a place of strength for you and I. And so this week, there were multiple things that happened for me personally this week where I didn't feel strong every moment of this week. I carried out my responsibilities and did what I needed to do, but I didn't necessarily feel a strength. Like, feel it. But was there a strength there as I opened up to the power of God? And so there is the need for us on a couple of levels here, that if you're a feeler like me, we've got to learn to disconnect feeling from truth. Because our feelings are an interesting gauge, but they're not the ultimate read on reality. They give us some kind of sense. It's kind of like dials on a car, watching the gauge, etc. That can give us some kind of read, and it can be helpful, but there can be a greater measure of truth above that. And so there is a strength that we can have whether we feel it or not, but I want us to be a people who lean in every day. Where there, as you step into this week, as you step into your Monday, there is an awareness that there is a strength that is alive in me whether I feel it or not, that I'm opening up for the glory and the power of God to be real in my day-to-day, for me as a mom or a dad or in the workplace or as I go to uni or in all the places I go, where there is a strength. And so I want us to take a hold of a posture of strength, whether we're feeling it or not, that we will engage with what God is wanting to do in our moments. But it needs to be so clear that we're strong in the Lord, an understanding of who He is, bigger and above what we've seen. And I want you to picture that however much you've seen of God, if you can just look at the size of this auditorium, so just have a look around. And so say this is the scope, the volume of how much you've currently seen God in your journey with Him, of how much of Scripture has been revealed that you could understand God, of how much of the misconceptions that are more connected to the culture that we live in or to our family of origin or the false definitions that we can place on who He is or where we've limited His power to what we've seen in our circumstance, all of those things. And the truth of Him that we know, say, is here. And I want you to think that God has for you the ability through a work of the Spirit to let's just say, double the capacity of how much you would know Him. And that as you see Him more, that there would be greater love for Him awakened, because the more you see who God is, the more you can't help but love Him. And the more we see who God is, the more we can't help but love those around us. The more we see who He is, that we're compelled by His Spirit to be on mission for Him. And so I want to know Him more. And can we be a people that know this Lord that is right in the middle here, that we could know Him more, to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I had this picture this morning as I was praying. And so I want, thank you, Aaron. If we can, let's put the purpose circles up just for a second. And you see, the fight we're engaged in, this fight that we're in, it starts with a place of surrender in the very center. And that's the daily wrestle for us. God, I open every part of who I am. Come and be my God. And so it starts there. And then it steps beyond that into, how do we actually live that? How do we live in connection to that declaration we've made? And we build a lifestyle now that's alive in the second circle, where prayer, Bible, and discipleship community are the natural default, that God wants us more and more to be leaning into what those things are in terms of deepening our connection with Him and with each other. And I had this picture, like if we come to this and go, okay, I got to read the Bible, I got to pray, I got to be in community. I kind of got this picture I saw was feeling like you've got to climb a rope. And if you've ever climbed a rope, you know it's hard. And so you can wrap your leg around and you wrap the rope around over the top of your leg and you can step down on it and pull yourself up and then catch it in your leg. And so you can get higher if you've got a good technique. And so you can just build better technique in some of these things, but ultimately it's still based upon our strength. And if we see this as our strength and our doing, and then the religious framework of us trying to subconsciously earn our way into God's good books, etc., then we're going to get tired and it's going to be ineffective. And we've got to be aware that I think, naturally just starts to build in us. The picture I saw is if you're trying to climb the rope. Now, imagine now that you're in like kind of a water well or some kind of well, and there's a water level that's rising and you're buoyant in the water. And so as the water rises, you rise with it. And now imagine that water level is going up and now you're climbing the rope. Now you're still doing the motion. You're moving your hands, but there is a buoyancy in that water coming up. And it's a completely different ballgame climbing that rope when the water level is coming up and we're moving our hands. And this is, as we continue to open our hands and our hearts before the God and before God, and the posture that I am calling us to this year is one of being on our knees before Him, is a radical posture again of saying, God, I am a sinner. I'm saved by grace. But I'm still, man, I fall short every day. And I'm not going to hide it, but God, I'm going to present myself before You like this. And where this is an open-hearted posture that we could choose to have a part of our lives. And as we do this every day, then it's like there is this work of the Spirit as God is continuing the good work in us that He started. And there's this rising water level, as though there was this rain of the Holy Spirit. There's this work of the Spirit and we're rising on His strength. And we're doing the motions of climbing the rope, but it's not all about our grit and us forcing our way up the rope, because there is this work of the Spirit. And so when it's like this, then when we come to the Bible, it's a completely different ballgame. It's not striving, working and forcing our way up the rope. It's a glorious work of the Spirit that we're just a part of. We're allowing Him to do in us what He's calling us to. When we picture the prayer and all prayer is in the breadth of what it is, and actually, can we pull up the Lord's Prayer? Thanks, Aaron. Then then we see it so differently when it's this work of the Spirit that we're just keeping in step with. And I want to encourage us again, if there is a next step, there are probably two key next steps from this message, where if you're not feeling like you're in that posture of humility before the Lord, then can I encourage you to find it, to make a decision today that that's going to be who I am. That God, I'm on my knees before you, your will and your ways. And the Lord's Prayer is one of the most glorious opportunities we have that Jesus gave his followers then and now forevermore. That would take us through some of the breadth of what prayer is. Because when prayer gets narrow, our connection with God gets narrow. Prayer is so broad. Prayer is so glorious. And so as we start with seeing again who he is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that this would foster a radical seeing some of his magnificence, that we're reminded again, God, that it's your kingdom that would come, your will would be done, understanding that there is a battle that you and I face, because every day the world is telling us to put our needs first and our will first. Every day it's like seed falling from the atmosphere around us, not God's seed, but messed up seed of this world. And it wants to land in a heart where it starts to grow this radical me first. And where we've got to know that we are critically important, but doing it God's way is going to lead us to the most fruitful future, not the world's way. And so as we posture ourselves before him and say, God, it's your kingdom that I want to come. In my household, that it's the kingdom of God that is alive. And God, would you lead us into that place? That it's your will, that is, I need your will done in me and through me afresh today. And then when we're asking for our daily needs, God, that daily bread, I come before you. And it's okay to acknowledge, God, I'm struggling here. Lord, I feel like I need this. And to bring that before him. And here's where I really want to focus. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And this is one of the most radical postures that Christians are called to walk in. Forgiveness doesn't make sense so often. Holding a grudge does. And again, to understand that we are in a fight to stand together as one, to forgive, to love, and to acknowledge how we mess up in this and how others do, and that our attempts are to always repair. Every relationship, if the enemy could have his way, he wants animosity in every human relationship you have on planet Earth. And we gotta actively fight against the work of the enemy. And this posture of forgiveness of, Lord, I need your forgiveness because I am a sinner. I've fallen short, and here's the measure. Have you loved those around you with the fullness of the love of Christ this week? Like whenever we're feeling good about ourselves and go, oh, I don't think I've really sinned. I think it's been a good week. Look at that. I'm on fire for the Lord. We need to be built up in him. But right now, I just want to pull us down just a little bit. To go, the measure is, have you loved God with your whole heart? And have you loved everyone else around you with your whole heart and Christ-like devotion? And so when we have that filter, that biblical filter, Matthew 22, 37 to 40, then I'm like, okay, I fell short. Claire was nodding, just so you know. I fell short, and that is what a wonderful place to find ourselves. I fell short. because there's no sense of God then pushing us away from Him. As we go, I fell short. And God, I come before You, receiving again the perfect work of Christ. In that place, there is no greater power. God, there was a nudge of Your Spirit just to take that conversation at work to another level, and I didn't listen. That I could have, I reacted there in a way that wasn't filled with Your wisdom, and to position ourselves humbly before Him. Right there, heaven meets earth. And so can I ask you, how regular is there a pattern of presenting your world to the Lord for Him to search and saying, God, forgive me for my sins? And when we're doing this, the inbuilt in this is that repentance is forgive me for my sins and I'm turning from them and walking a different way. Is that a regular, powerful part of your life? And if not, then I don't want you to do anything else post today but that. Search me, God. And then coupled with that is releasing those who have sinned against us. That just as I need forgiveness, just as I have fallen short and received forgiveness, that's how You're calling me to do life with others. Help me in these postures. Let's pray. If the worship team want to come and join us, thank You. Lord, we honor You. We worship You. We thank You for Your radical call that comes to us. Your gracious call. Lord, I thank You that You've called us by name and You continue to. And I thank You that there is a strength that You are building into Your people afresh. Lord, that we are engaging in the fight with Your holy strength and Your holy power. Lord, where there is a posture of humility that You are working deep into who we are. Lord, that then results in a glorious servant-heartedness where we are engaged in fresh ways to see Your kingdom come and Your will being done. God, we're so open to say, Lord, I fall short. We fall short. But we thank You in that there's no sense of heaviness. There's no sense of condemnation, but there's a sense of the gracious and loving call of Almighty God calling us into even deeper communion. And so let us hear Your call afresh. God, the call into a place of communion with You that is deeper and greater than what we have ever known. God, that's what we want. We don't want a bland or a dry walk with You. Lord, we don't want religious unction and duty. God, we want a real, living, breathing relationship with the King of all kings, that Jesus came to this world, that You surrendered Your life for us to be able to have that very thing. And God, we thank You that as You call us into the depths of relationship with You, God, that it is so not about us, but it's about Your kingdom coming through us, Your will being done through us. We thank You, Lord, that You're calling us to be even greater blessings to those around us. And so help us to see not just with earthly eyes, but God, to see with heavenly perspective what You're doing in us personally and in our church in this season. God, that we would engage in the way You're calling us to. That Your wonderful work that You've started in us would be carried to a point of completion. Thank You, Lord. Church, can you stand to your feet? Thank you. We're gonna worship. Thank you, team. Sorry, I got quite kind of somber and serious. My hope is that God is doing a work in us. And I am just, you know, I've preached over 400 messages. You'd think I'd be better already, right? No, I am so aware that humans can't produce a life-transforming work in other humans. But we can just be conduits of the Spirit of God. And so I don't want cleverly crafted messages that tickle ears. I want to be radically transformed more and more by God, and I want that for you more than anything. And if we can just attune our hearts together to what He's doing in this time, man, I just want you to come in power, Lord. I want to read as we're going to open the altar as the band leads us. We're going to have a couple of songs. They're not songs. Let it be worship from our heart. Let it lead us into surrender. And so you can do that where you are. If you feel there's a point of response you want to make and you want to step on the altar, then you can go ahead at any point while we're singing and do that. If you would like someone to pray with you, then can I encourage you to come over on this side over here on my left, your right, and our team will come and pray with you. If you just want to come down as a response and you just want to worship down the front, but you don't need someone to pray with you, then you go ahead and come on this side, my right, your left. The band are going to lead us as we lead ourselves to a point of surrender before God. And then after these songs are finished, I'll dismiss the service, but we're also then going to continue this open altar worship space. And so then you'll be free to go. That'll be in about 15 minutes. But also there'll be a chance to linger even longer before the Lord. And as we invite a great work of the Holy Spirit, I want to read for us this prayer written by one of the Puritans hundreds of years ago. O Holy Spirit, as the sun is full of light, the ocean full of water, heaven full of glory, so may my heart be full of thee. Yes, God. Vain are all divine purposes of love and the redemption wrought by Jesus, except Thou working it afresh within me, regenerating by Thy power, giving me eyes to see Jesus, showing me the realities of the unseen world. Give me Thyself without measure, as an unimpaired fountain, as inexhaustible riches. I bewail my coldness, my poverty, my emptiness, my imperfect vision, my languid service, my prayerless prayers, my praiseless praise. Suffer me not to grieve or resist thee. Come as power to expel every rebel lust, to reign supreme and keep me thine. Come as teacher, leading me into all truth, filling me with all understanding. Come as love, that I may adore the Father and love Him as my all. Come as joy, to dwell in me, move in me, animate me. Come as light, illuminating the Scripture, molding me in its laws. Come as sanctifier, body, soul, and spirit wholly Thine. Come as helper, with strength to bless and keep, directing my every step. Come as beautifier, bringing order out of confusion, loveliness out of chaos. Magnify to me Thy glory by being magnified in me, and make me reminiscent of Thy fragrance.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.